Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight and give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And it's really good to have Brother Charlie and Sister Sandra West. We give you a very warm welcome. Still a few folks missing. George and Winifred still not feeling too well. Keep praying for Brother George and Sister Winifred. And then Brother Laurie is off tonight. Abraham used to work for Hard Abraham, and his wife's passed away. Brother Laurie's away to see them tonight, so he said that he wouldn't be here tonight. And Philip went for his thing today with the hip, and everything's been passed, and he's well, and he's able to drive and everything again, so it's nice for him to get back to normal, isn't it? Praise God. And then, if we can just remember Sandra, that's Simon Peter's girlfriend, her wife-to-be, in prayer. Her father, her godfather, has been diagnosed with stage 5 cancer. And we can just remember him in prayer, that the Lord really move on him. And above all, that the man get saved. Amen. And also remember the Blair family in prayer as well. John, it was a husband of Carl that went on to be with the Lord. And just remember them in prayer that the Lord will just bless and strengthen the whole family at this time. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want us to turn to John's Gospel, and I'm not going to be very long tonight. And I just want to really encourage everybody that we need to keep praying for our loved ones to get saved. And I want to try and bring out that it's God's will for us to do it. God's will for us to do it. You know, years ago, my father was talking to a man, and he said, "Billy, you shouldn't be praying for people to get healed." And he said, "Why not?" And he said, "Sure, it mightn't be God's will to heal them." And my dad said, "Well, tell me this here." He says, "Do you ever pray for your neighbor?" "Oh," he says, "I pray for him every day." And my dad says, "You maybe should stop." "Oh, I couldn't do that." He says, "Why not? It might be God's will to save him." And the man said, "Aye, but the Bible tells us it's not God's will that any should perish." And my dad says, "Well, the same Bible says that Jesus went about healing all." So I want to remind you tonight that it's God's will for us to pray for people to get saved. Now, we believe in predestination, but we also believe that we have a part to play. How many knows we're the Lord's hands and feet? He uses his people. God uses his people. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, that he could use his people. Praise God. Let's read one verse, John 17. And this is a verse people use so they don't have to pray. And I'm reading it to tell you to pray, because it took it out of context. But it's true what this verse is saying. Verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them. In thy name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a prayer request tonight or want prayer, just lift your hand to the Lord. While every head's bowed, every head closed. God bless you. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the name that you've set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening for the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And we plead the merits of your precious blood, that token, over our lives and over this room afresh tonight, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, we pray that you'll bind every work of the devil and spoil his goods in Jesus Christ's name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on everyone, every home. And we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Pray again for Brother George, Sister Winifred. We ask for complete, total recovery to health and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for Brother Laurie as he goes to visit tonight. These brethren bereaved, we pray for strength and comfort in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Brother John Blair, all the family circle, that to bless them, comfort them, strengthen them, be with them, and even for others in this fellowship, this widow, give them your strength, your comfort, your blessing. Lord, for those that couldn't be here tonight, strengthen them, bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we ask for the hands raised in every need. We pray you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us tonight, and I take the Holy Ghost afresh in Jesus' precious name. And I pray, Lord, you'll undertake in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we do pray for Sandra's stepdad, Lord, tonight. Or God, Father, we pray for this man that the Spirit of God will move on him and work on him. And you'll save him above all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's going to say, be seated, but you are seated. Praise the Lord. I just want to read this wee quotation from the Mark of the Beast, just as a start tonight. There was three wolves followed it. The first one happened in World War One. Second one happened in World War Two. You see what we're going in now, all right? We're at the end of the road. Now let's get in our minds just before we read the scriptures precisely. We're bound to be at the end age. How long? I don't know. No one does. But look, let's take the, historically speaking, the first 2,000 years, the world order come to a climax. God destroyed the world with water. You know that. Then it come forth as a new world. In the second 2,000 years, it came to its end and God sent Jesus. Is that right? This is the end of the 2,000 years. The gospel, Jesus said that work would be cut short. For what? For the elect's sake, or no flesh would be saved. It would be so wicked to where at the end time. And then the seventh and the type is the millennium, a 1,000-year reign. So he preached all the week about time. I'm just reading that to say we're at the end. We're at the end. And we need to be praying for our loved ones to get saved. Now, some people have the view they're going to come, they'll come. Well, then that's like saying, take the commission back. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel till every creature, and whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the gospel commission, William Branham said, it's never changed and it's never been taken back. It will continue till the Lord literally comes and takes us. That commission will continue till the Lord literally comes. And we know that it can happen at any time. There's going to be a catching up. And we're to go on, keep on going until we go. And we need to keep on praying as well till we go. Praying for sons, praying for daughters, praying for loved ones that's not saved. Only God knows who's going to come. But we need to pray for them because somebody was praying for us, weren't they? Now Jesus has lost none. All that the Father's given me says will come to me. And we know that they're all going to come. But we don't know who all is. We need to pray for the all. But I believe that it's not God's will that any should perish. And I can prove that from the Bible. And you know that hell was never made for man, but hell was made for the devil and the fallen angels. But every Christ rejecter will go to hell. We know that. But we don't want to see our loved ones going to hell. Sure we don't. I don't. And we need to pray for them. Now, you know, many people use this verse to say we don't need to pray for the lost. And you notice if we study your Bible and the scriptures, only a few hours after that scripture, a few hours later, Jesus prays for a part of the lost world when he cried on the cross. So people use this scripture in John 17 and they say we don't need to pray for everybody. Only the elect will come and that's God's business. We don't need to pray for the unsaved. But when Jesus was down on the cross, Jesus Christ prayed for all. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Is that right? That's what he prayed on the cross. And I believe we're to pray for all. We don't know who's going to be elect and who's not going to be elect. You could go down the town tonight and you can't pick the elect. You could have a man that's an absolute drunkard. And that man could be chosen of God. And you wouldn't know it. You could have a prostitute in the corner. And God could have chosen her. And you or me wouldn't know it. Look at the woman at the well. How many people passed the woman at the well and they wouldn't have picked her? But the Lord picked her. And the Lord chose her. And not only that, when he spoke to her, she recognized him. Isn't that amazing? That a woman like that could recognize the Lord, and yet the religious world of that day couldn't recognize him. That's a bit like the day, isn't it? The religious world of today wouldn't really recognize a real move of God. Just like back then, they didn't know. Scribes and the Pharisees and those that were religious. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Then the Apostle Paul prayed for the unsaved Jews. In Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul was praying for the unsaved Jews, that they might be saved. Now we know that there's going to be 144,000 of them Jews are going to be sealed. And we know that Moses and Elijah is going to go down to them and seal them. And Brother Branham says they'll receive the same Pentecostal message we receive. Now, not at the denomination, but the real experience. The real Holy Spirit seal. You can't be sealed with anything else. Now, you know that. You know that you can't be sealed with any other seal. The Holy Spirit is the thing that seals us. And the book of Ephesians tells us, whereby we're sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And when you're sealed, you can't be lost. You're sealed unto your destination. And God is going to seal 144,000 of them Jews. And Paul here is praying for the Jews. And Paul is praying that Israel might be saved. And remember, in Paul's time, they rejected Christ. They rejected him. They turned him down. But yet he's praying for them. And we people tonight, and we might think they've rejected the Lord. They've rejected the truth. But we need to pray for them. There's grace, you know. We're still living in the day of grace. I believe that tonight. That there's still grace. And I tell you, it's only by the grace of God we're saved. Ephesians tells us that. For by faith through grace you save, that none of yourselves. Now, we're going to know God's will on the matter when we read the will of God. And if you want to know God's will on anything, you need to read the will. And New Testament is an old English word for will. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading the will of God. God's word is God's will, and God's word is God's way. And God cannot change his mind about his word. And you know he could swear by no greater, he swear by his own self. That by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. And you know, William Branham says in the Church Age books that's sitting in that box, he says in them, in that Church Age book, the greatest revelation of all revelations, is that God never changes. He never changes. Now, the thing that God did one time, he'll do it the same every time. He'll not change. And you know that tonight, God won't change his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8, Malachi 3, verse 6. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Let's read a few scriptures tonight while we look at this. 1 John 5, verse 14, 15. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, how do you know the will? You read the will. Now, if somebody was to say to you, it's God's will to heal the sick, you would read them the will. And the will you would read them is Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the will. If they said to you, how do you know they can be healed? You would read them James. Is there any sick amongst you? Let them call the elders of the church and let them anoint with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. That's the will. We're not going by what we're saying. We're going by the will. God's will. You know, William Branham said, I was listening on a message today. He said, if you don't doubt it, it has to happen. It has to happen. But we're not working many times on the sixth sense. We're working on one of the five. We're looking for it. We're listening for it. But the sixth sense is faith. And it's not looking or listening. It's believing. And I tell you, we need the sixth sense in operation. Isn't that right? Amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Now, I'm not up here to tell you tonight that there's people that's not going to perish. There is people that will perish. But I don't know who they are, and I'm not God. And I'm going to pray for all that I know that's near and dear to me to be saved. Because the Bible says we're to do it. And I tell you, if you have a son or a daughter tonight, I don't care how far out they've went or what they're doing, or maybe somebody's told you they'll not come. You believe they will come. You believe that all you love will be there. You pray for them, that God will move them, that God will speak to them, that the Holy Spirit will strive with them, and they'll get saved, and they'll repent and come to the Lord. Amen. They mightn't go the full way to believe all the things we believe, but if they only get in, wouldn't it be great? I'll tell you something, if you're coming into this building and you come through that door, you're in here. Now, there's other things while you're in here, but as long as you're in here, you're in. Your tabernacle had three avenues in it. You had the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies. And there was only one way in. Now you could stop on the outer court, and there's no doubt there's a lot of people in the outer court, but they're still in it. They're still in the outer court. They're not out no more in the wilderness. They've made it to the outer court. They're saved. They're not lost. Now they can go on. There's more. There's the table of showbread. There's a hidden manna. There's a Shekinah glory. There's all them things. And there's a light in there which no human being lights, for it's a supernatural light of God. But it's getting them in. We need to pray that they'll come. Amen. Who will of all men to receive? This verse clearly shows us the will of God. Christ's death on the cross established the fact that God is not willing that any should perish. And when we pray for the lost to be saved, we are praying within the revealed will of God. That's what we're praying. We are praying within the revealed will of God. Now you say, but everybody doesn't get healed. That's not down to me or you. Just like we pray for people to be saved, we can pray for people to be healed. And we need to believe it. Now God can show you. There's no question about it. God can drop it in your heart. And God can show you it's going to happen. Do you ever pray for somebody once and you never prayed again because you knew it was done? I have. I'm telling you, God can do it. When I went to pray for wee Matthew in the hospital, he was trailed up the road with that car, and I prayed for him once. I didn't pray for him again. He was, God done it. Now, it took a few days to come about, but it was done. Now, you said, I don't know about that, brother. When the man came in front of William Branham, and he was totally blind, and William Branham says, you're healed. Go and testify that. And he came back the next night in the line again, and he said, I still can't see. And he said, I didn't ask you, could you see? I asked you, could you believe it? Now he discerned the secrets of his heart. We couldn't have done that. He done that. That was a gift God gave him. And that man said, nobody else ever told me them things before. I'll believe it. And he went about with the newspapers, and every now and again he said, praise the Lord, he's healed me. And then they got him in the barber chair, and John Rand was his name. They got him in the barber chair, and the boy was shaving him. And he says, John, I heard you can heal down at their meetings. And they were mocking him. And this was weeks later. And he said, yes, the Lord healed me. And just then his eyes opened, And he was saved. God wants us to confess it and believe it. The sixth sense is not working on someone like that. Now I know God can do it immediately. That's a miracle. But a healing mightn't be immediate, but God will still heal you. But it doesn't. We need to pray and believe it. We need to pray and believe it. To say that we may not pray for the lost is to deny ourselves our right as Christians. That's what it's doing. For to say we're not to do it is to deny our own right. God has always used men and women to make intercession. How many believes that? God has always done it to achieve his will. Intercession hasn't, you know, it's not been put aside. It's still here. We still need to do it. The wrath of God has prevented the wrath of God many occasions. It's changed things in many an occasion when man's prayer. What about the man in the Bible was dying? He turned his face to the wall and he prayed and fasted and God gave him 15 more years. What about a bunch of farmers in another place in the Bible that prayed and fasted and God sent a revival? Don't ever get to a place where you think someone sat in stone and that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. That's wrong. You can pray and things can change. I can guarantee you that by the Bible. And I can prove it from so many scriptures that God can do it. Job 42 verse 8, therefore take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams and go to thy servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Now there was men there, they spoke against God's prophet, and they were finished. Now read this, you can read the book of Job. I read it many times years ago. When Job offered a prayer for them, they were forgiven, they were spared. But if Job hadn't have prayed for them, they wouldn't have been spared, because God says they wouldn't have been. But because he prayed for them, they were spared. Lot was saved because of Abraham, did you know that? Because he had a righteous uncle that prayed for him. And while Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham, a type of Christ, was interceding. And he was saying, Lord, if there's 50, if there's 40, and they were right down to 10. And there wasn't 10, but God still saved Lot. Now I know the Bible calls him righteous Lot, but Abraham prayed for him. Now you could say he was in the wrong place, and you could say all the different things about it, but God brought him out. Because Abraham prayed for him. And we can have a great truth tonight, and we have. But others that don't have, we need to pray for them. That God will bring them out. That God will spur them. That God will save them. That God will move on them. Do you believe that tonight? I tell you, you know, intercession of Moses saved a nation from the judgment of God. You know that. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he spurred because of Abraham's prayers. What about the four men that lured the crippled friend through the ceiling to Jesus? They believed if they'd get him to the Lord. Luke 5:20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, you see, the four men had faith. They had faith, so much faith they racked the roof. Imagine that. Imagine you have to rack a building to get into. They were determined to get to the Lord. I'll tell you what, imagine tonight, I tell you what, there's not much racking about these days. People determined to get to the Lord. It'd be quicker to get to the pub or something, wouldn't it? But these men had faith. They were determined to get to the Lord. And I tell you, when they come to the Lord, something happened. Amen? And he says, thy sins are forgiven thee. They had faith for the friend to be healed. The simple fact is that God responds to prayer. He does things that he wouldn't otherwise do, you could say, because he responds to prayer. Now, if you're going to say it would have happened anyway, I wouldn't agree with that. You can pray and change things. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. And there's nobody will change me on it. I know it for a fact. God can change things when you pray. But you need to pray believing. You need to pray under expectation. Seeking and saving. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and we're part of the bride of Jesus Christ, we have to have a desire for the lost. How could we not have? We have to have. Because if we're part of Him, we have to have His desires. We have to have. It's not us that's doing it. It's His love in us. It's His desire through us. Amen. You know, this must mean more than an attempt to locate the unsaved. Jesus went seeking them. Did the Bible say He went seeking them? I'll tell you, how did the Lord get you? The Lord sought you. I can tell you that now. God was seeking for you, and God was seeking for me. And even in the beginning, the scripture bears record, man never sought God, God sought man. The Lord went looking for Adam, and He says, Adam, where are you? That's the Bible. And Adam says, Lord, we hid ourselves. Now the Lord went seeking for Adam, and that's the Bible. We should have a desire to seek for the unsaved. I tell you, we're too polite of ourselves, and we're too timid as Christians. I tell you, I was working with my fellow today, and every word's an F. Every word. I never heard a man curse like him, and I've heard a few curses in my time. And I stopped what I was doing today. I couldn't listen no more of it. And I said, tell me this here. Are you going to put food in there for that stuff's coming out of? And he says to me, are you telling me I'm a bad person because I curse? I says, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I says, the devil's going to retire. Because you're taking over from him. And he went quiet. Because I'll tell you what, God will convict a man when you talk to them. But the world, you see, we're afraid to talk about the Lord many times. We're afraid. But gay rights aren't afraid. The gay right movement's not afraid to put two homos on the television kissing each other. Two queers. They're not afraid to march through the town with their rainbow flags. They're not afraid. They'll put it in your face. And the Christians are walking about timid. They're afraid to say, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting the victory, glory to God. We ought not to be ashamed of the Lord. He's not ashamed of us, sure He's not. He went the whole way to the cross for us. He wasn't ashamed. And He died for us and He rose again. You know, there's divine preparation made for the unsaved. Divine preparation. Now I'm going to close in a moment because I don't want to hold you as long tonight. This is seen when Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's read this and then we'll close in a moment. We'll come, and I'm only preaching this to encourage you to pray for you, for a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife that's not saved. I'm preaching this and I'm preaching to myself as well. I want my own children saved and they're coming. What do you think of that? Who told you? I'm telling you. You won't have to tell me. I'm telling you, I'm believing they're coming. And that's the attitude every one of us need to have. You need to have an attitude to say, you see my son, he's going to come. You see my daughter, she's going to come. How do you know? Because I'm believing it. I'm believing it. I tell you, when I tell our Ian one night, he was drinking and partying and all the rest of it, and I tell him he'd have to come. I'd claimed him for the Lord. And the night I told him, and after that he near curtailed, he wrecked the place. He went worse. And that went on for several weeks, then the Lord got him. And he come. What about Sidney Murray's wife on the bridge in Belfast? There she was on the bridge with a baby in her arms to jump over and kill herself and the baby. Sidney Murray was in jail. And James McConnell was 18 years of age, a boy preacher you could call him. And the Holy Spirit told him to go over that bridge. And he went over the bridge, and there she was on the bridge. And he got a hold of her. And he says, where's Sidney? She says, he's in jail. He says, I'll claim him. and he climbed him on the bridge. And several weeks later, Sidney Murray got out of jail. He was an alcoholic and everything. And he was coming down for a Sunday morning cure from his hangover. And there's two big fellas standing well dressed in suits. And he says, there's two fine looking boys there. He says, will I get a cure in here? And they said, you will, come on in. And he came in and James McConnell was preaching. And Sidney Murray got converted. And you know anything in this country, you've heard of Sidney Murray, for God mightily used him. He was with the brethren for 17 years. Then he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost after that. And he was with the Pentecostals then after that. But he's seen a lot of people see him. But James McConnell claimed him. He didn't even know him. And I tell you something, you say that was James McConnell. No, but it's the same Jesus. William Branham was a mighty prophet of God. We know that. Gift to the God, the messenger of this last church age. We believe that. But he says they took him, handkerchiefs and aprons, the body of Paul, and they laid them on the sink. And he says, I'm not St. Paul, but you're the same Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible says Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. But when he prayed, it never rained for 3.5 years. God is encouraging us to pray and believe. God wants us to pray and believe. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? I'm not going to preach no more. We're going to pray and believe. Praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. I hope you've been encouraged to pray and believe. Don't worry what it looks like. Boys, you know, many's the time it looks like it's going the wrong road. Then God can turn it. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight and we're going to come and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless your name, Lord Jesus, as you've never changed. Lord, your arm's not shortened, your ear's not heavy, but it's open till our cry. And Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight, where we may find mercy and help in the time of need. We thank you that you are our high priest tonight, that's touched by the very feeling of our infirmities. Father, we do bring before you every son and every daughter represented in this room tonight. We lift them before the throne of grace and we plead that token on them, the Holy Ghost, the power of the blood of Jesus over them tonight. We claim them, Lord. And we pray you'll save everyone in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for the wife, for the husband, for the son, the daughter, the aunt, the uncle, the niece, the nephew, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit will go to working on them. May the Holy Spirit go to working on them and speak to them and save them and draw them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we know that you said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Lord, we know that you said, pray ye always, pray without ceasing. Lord, we know we've a right to pray. We've a right to pray. We've open access tonight into the very heavens because you've rose from the dead. You're seated at the right hand of the majesty and high tonight. And you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Father, we bless your name tonight. We thank you, Lord, that every one of us in this room, you lifted us out of the dunghill, the dung heap. And you set our feet on the King's highway. And you put a new soul in our souls today. We bless you for the eyesight of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth you've shown us, for the things you've done for us. But Lord, for those that can't pray for themselves, we're praying for them tonight. We're joining in faith. We're agreeing as one that you'll move on them, that you'll speak to them and draw them to yourself and save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we pray again for the sick and the afflicted. May the hand of God be upon them. May you touch them. May you heal them. May you deliver them and set them free in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless Brother Charlie. Bless Sister Sandra. I pray you'll give them a great time here to pray. As they go home, you'll bless them. You'll strengthen them. Oh, God, that you'll be with them. Save the whole family circle. Lord, you know every one. I don't need to mention the name. But I claim every single one tonight in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray that everyone will come to know you, Lord, as their own Savior in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless John Burr and all the family tonight. Pray for the Carty family, McBurney family, the Patterson family, for all that's connected. We thank you, Lord, for Sister Carl's testimony. We thank you for her life. We thank you tonight, Lord, that she's absent from the body and present with the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that salvation's not for a moment, but for all time and for all eternity. When we receive you, we receive eternal life. We thank you for that life, Lord. Lord, when this life ceases, there's another life. And we bless you for it tonight. Father, help each one of us, I pray. Guide us tonight. Lead us tonight. Answer prayers that's unspoken. Meet the needs that's unspoken, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. For people in the next very room tonight that need a miracle touch in their body, heal them and touch them by the power of God. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we just commit it to you and pray you'll help us to continue to seek your face tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to pray and seek the Lord.